I beg you. Okay. I went through my sermon and I thought this would happen at the close. I forgot about the video. Some of us, we're at all different places with our dads. I miss my dad right now. One of my gifts to the body of Christ here at Grace is helping men get in touch with their feelings. All right, we're going to talk about something that is so powerful this morning, and it's forgiveness. And I'll just give you this nugget right now, guys. Six of the most powerful words in the English language are, I am sorry, please forgive me. Mike, I don't know how you're going to follow in God's word with my... Wait, let's see what Mike does on his phone. All right. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to speak from Luke 11 this morning. We're also going to look at Matthew 6. And going to reference 1 John. And then, Lord willing, we're going to close with a story of forgiveness in Luke. So, wow. We started this series with a message back in May where I spoke about our Father who art in heaven. And we've had just wonderful teaching through this series. I pray that the Spirit of God has impacted you and that prayer has become more real to you. And so we started out with a real basic definition of prayer, which is that prayer is communication. It's two-way communication. That's what real communication is, two ways. It's speaking, talking to God, and it's listening. And I've done a lot of reading in the last few weeks on prayer, and there's this author, Philip Yancey, who is really profound. And so here are three prayer is kind of definitions that he offers. These are deep, so I'll let them sit with you. Prayer is the act of seeing reality from God's point of view. Yeah, that's... Here's another one. Prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet. He says our lives have two themes. Why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where these two themes converge. That's really, I like that. Why God doesn't act the way we want him to, and why we don't act the way God wants us to, and that's where prayer brings us to. And then here's another profound one. The most important purpose of prayer may be to let our true selves be loved by God. Most important purpose of prayer may be to let our true selves be loved by God. I'm going to give you this slide right now so that you can get it. Take a picture with your phone if you want. Here are some really great resources on prayer, okay? Secrets of the Secret Place, Bob Sorge, Breakthrough Prayer, Jim Cimbala, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home, Richard Foster, Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference, Philip Yancey. I read some quotes from there. God's Chosen Fast, that gets into fasting and prayer. And then there's a book. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. That's the one we're going to get into. And there's a book that R.T. Kendall wrote called Total Forgiveness. That one I commend to you. Okay, let's get to God's word this morning. Luke chapter 11, I'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll stop at verse 13. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for the friend's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for making us your children. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to be this perfect sacrifice for our sin. We revere you, Father. We respect you. We worship you. Father, bring your kingdom order into our fallen world. Let your will be done in my life, in our family's life, in this church family's life. Let your will be done in this city, in this state, in this nation. Let your will be done in the nations of the world. Give us today what we need. Forgive me for being preoccupied with things I don't need, Lord. Forgive my sin. Forgive my prideful attitudes. Forgive my judgment of people who think too highly of themselves. Forgive me for thinking too highly of myself. Forgive me when I'm impatient with people who don't embrace my ideas and plans. Forgive, Father. Forgive us. Lord, we forgive those who've offended and hurt us, who've mistreated us. We forgive those who misrepresent you. Right now, we forgive every offense that we've held on to this week because you've forgiven each of us so much more. Father, keep us away from temptation of every kind. Keep us yielding to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer. We've been focusing on prayer. We've put together a prayer card. If you haven't received one of these yet over the last few weeks, we'd really like you to have one to take home to help inspire, motivate you in prayer. If you don't have one of these yet, just wave your hand and we'll give you one. If you've misplaced one, you can have another. Don't be bashful. We want you to have these cards. These are, you know, refrigerator material, bathroom mirror, wherever you see things frequently. Put them up. Not in the windshield of your car. We want you to be safe. But refrigerator, mirror. Our hope would be that you would try ones of these. There's 20-some challenges. Try one for a week. I just want to acknowledge I've been trying to do this along with each one of you. And the one I went for this week was praying in tongues for 10 minutes. Now, I don't know who came up with 10 minutes. That's pretty arbitrary. Catherine's smiling at me. So I've been praying in tongues And this morning, here I live 10 minutes here from the church. So if I leave my radio off and I begin praying when I leave, by the time I've gotten here, I've prayed 10 minutes. That's a long time. Has anybody, like, so this morning, I just kept being distracted, didn't pray in tongues for 10 minutes, and I would pray in tongues, and then I'd have this thought and chase that with the Lord in my head. And so then I came into the sanctuary and walked around and finally got my 10 minutes in, because we're legalistic at Grace Covenant Church, and you must do the whole thing. So anyhow, I just encourage you, take one of those challenges and embrace it and have a go at it for each day of the week, and then pick another one and pick another one. It will keep, I believe, your prayer life fresh. So embrace this. I invite you. All right, forgive us our debts is how it reads in some translations. Forgive us our trespasses is how it reads in another translation. I'm in the New Living. It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our sins. Here's how it reads in the Amplified Bible. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, who has offended us, who has done us wrong. Perhaps we've heard this prayer and recited this prayer so many times that it has lost its impact and significance for us. I hope not, and I hope some of that can be revived and refreshed today. I just want to say, while I've been preparing for this sermon, I've experienced some renewal of this particular portion of the prayer, and I'm really grateful. So here's what it means. My junk, my crud, my sin and all its ugliness is removed, washed away. I'm loved and accepted by the Heavenly Father as if I have never sinned. When we ask forgiveness, that's what God does on our behalf. That's really good news. So this portion of the prayer that's highlighted on the screen, verse 4, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, is really not that complicated. It says, receive forgiveness, give forgiveness. That's not complicated to understand. That's incredibly challenging to live out. Let's start here in the first part. Ask forgiveness, receive forgiveness. I want to call this level one forgiveness. Stick with me here. We're going to go a couple levels this morning, Lord willing. Level one forgiveness, ask forgiveness. Acknowledge my debt, acknowledge my sin, admit my falling short of God's commands, my being impolite, rude, and insensitive to my wife just the other night, exasperating or being too harsh with my children, exaggerating the truth to look impressive in front of you, inflating expenses on my business account maybe, lying to my boss at work about the sick day I took to play golf, plagiarizing on my history exam. Whatever the sin is in my life, I ask forgiveness. I own it. I take responsibility for doing so. Some of us come to admitting and confessing, asking forgiveness because we get cornered with the truth. Whatever the means, when we ask forgiveness for our sin, when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. What a wonderful truth. Some of you may remember the days of being very young. Most of our young children who fit into this window are in children's ministry, I believe. In our days of our youth, maybe we misbehaved, maybe we mistreated a neighbor or a sibling, we did something bad at school, and then we were forced or coerced by an authority figure, a parent or a teacher, to apologize and say you were sorry, right? Some of us remember. And say you're sorry. And so you would go, I'm sorry. And everybody believed us. Yeah, see, that isn't what we're being asked to do in this scripture, is pretend forgiveness or pretend an apology. See, many, many, many times in our life, we're not really sorry for our sin or sorry for our misbehavior. We're sorry for being caught and having to deal with it, but not as frequently willing to really acknowledge who we are, what our faults are, what our failures have been. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is a paradoxical truth in the kingdom of God. Those of us who humble ourselves and admit our shortcomings, our mistakes, our sin, willingly confessing the truth about my ugliness, we will receive forgiveness and complete freedom, and we get our lives washed clean. How crazy is that? And here's the other side of that. Those of us who don't do that, but those of us who do what I would call sin management, we hide our sins, we cover it up, we try to act better and cleaner and more together than we really are. We eventually have all of these efforts miserably fail, and the truth about who we really are comes out anyhow. Our sin gets exposed, and then we are humbled as well. We can start out humbling ourselves and being honest and authentic about who we really are and our shortcomings and failures, or we can spend energy and time and effort trying to appear to be something better than we really are, and then that house of cards falls and crumbles, and we're exposed for who we really are. And here's the amazing thing. God knows what we are and who we are either way. So why not just embrace the first option, the first scenario? Here's what Jesus warned his disciples of in Luke 12. He said, "There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." God knows everything, and our efforts to cover up, to keep things in secret, to keep it in the dark, they fail miserably. And they don't fail miserably so that we can be humiliated. They fail miserably because God wants us to be free in who he's made us to be and not spend all of this time pretending to be something else, because he loves us the way he made us. And he loves us in spite of all of our failure and sin and shortcoming. No thing can I do to remove his love from me. He loves us, and he forgives us, and he just says, come and ask forgiveness. Who we truly are will be revealed. Let's just embrace it on the front end and deal honestly with the Lord and with one another. Here's some really good encouragement. In addition to 1 John 1:9, Psalm 103 says this: His unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. He has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. That's really far apart. I don't get this. How far away is the east from the west? Really far. This is really good news. Can you see why Jesus included this good news in the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray? A quick story about how freeing it is to have our sins washed and to be cleansed. We had one of our four children. I can't remember how long this child functioned this way. There was a season that this child had at some point where their sin and their misbehavior would not allow them to sleep. And so we would do the regular story time, prayer, put our kids to bed. We would go to bed, and we would hear this knock on the door. And this didn't happen every night. I don't remember for how long, but it happened consistently for a little while. And we'd say, come in. This child would come in and just, I can't sleep. And we're like, oh, what, you know, so what's wrong? And do you feel okay? Is there anything you need to tell us? And then, They would, whatever happened that day that they had gotten away with and no one knew about would spill out. I thought, I'm going to write a book about this parenting technique. But I don't know how we did it, because we didn't do it. The Holy Spirit was at work in this child's life. And so if they had misbehaved, if they had mistreated a sibling, if they had taken something, if they had told a lie, whatever, I don't even remember what it was, but that child's sensitivity to the Lord and their conscience was so sensitive, they could not sleep with unconfessed sin. So they would get it off their chest, go in, shoom, fall asleep. I was like, man, we need to package this stuff. It is so, then that child could sleep. That, what would it be like if none of us could sleep at night until we had confessed our sin and been washed clean? Wow, how freeing. What amazing sleep we would have. Life is so freeing. Why would we ever resist confessing our sin? It's pretty simple. Our enemy Satan deceives us and he lies to us. He appeals to our sinful nature and tells us stuff like this. What you did really wasn't so bad. Or people are going to really think little of you if you admit the truth. Or you can just keep it a secret. No one will know. Or you can cover it up and it'll eventually go away. What a bunch of lie that is. Stuff doesn't go away, church, until we confess it. And then it's put as far away as the east is from the west. Here's another lie. Nobody really expects you to live that perfectly. You don't really have to admit your mistakes or ask forgiveness. The variations of that. The world system, the fallen world that we live in, has rules that are like this. Keep your faults a secret. Hide and cover up weakness. Live in the darkness and people won't see your faults. Pretend you're more impressive and together than you really are. Act like you don't struggle or have any problems. This is what I would call, again, sin management or spin control. Satan, our enemy, is the ultimate spin doctor. Busy making things look better than they are. Busy minimizing things, justifying things. Don't buy into the lie, church. Confessing our faults, confessing our weaknesses, admitting our failure breaks the rules of the world system and sets us free to live in the light of the kingdom of God. We have the freedom to be who we truly are and to be loved and accepted completely. All our weaknesses, failures, known, forgiven, and cleansed by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Wow. Good news. I want us to do something a little more formal than is our pattern. Mike and Mercy recently went to Battelle. Part of a 20-year celebration, ministry celebration with the Battelle leadership team in Kent Mary Alice. And at the Coventry Cathedral, there was this plaque. It was called a Litany of Reconciliation. I'm not even sure what litany means. Anyhow, this is a liturgical kind of prayer, okay? So here's how it's going to go. I'm going to read a statement, and if you can agree with it and you want to participate in asking the Lord to forgive, then you just say, Father, forgive, when I finish the statement. You guys are really sharp people, and even though we don't do liturgical stuff, we're gonna go for it. So I'm going to read a sentence. And if your heart bears witness to that and you want to say, Lord, forgive me for that, just say, Father, forgive. And we'll do that together. I'll cue you. This will be kind of like worship time. This is worship time. All right. For the hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, and class from class, Father, forgive. For the covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own, Father, forgive. For the greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth, Father, forgive. For our envy of the welfare and the happiness of others, Father, forgive. for our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee. Father, forgive. For the lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children. Father, forgive. For the pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God. Father, forgive. All right. So you came to this church this morning. We've learned and reminded ourselves of the Father's template, Jesus' template for prayer. And you've just asked forgiveness. That's wonderful. That's level one. Level two is even more amazing. Let me jump into it real quick. Ask forgiveness, give forgiveness. This is deeper, greater, higher, more profound. Peter comes to Jesus at one point. This is in Matthew 18. Jesus is teaching about how to resolve conflicts with other people. So Matthew 18 deals with how to resolve conflict. And Peter, who's been praying in the way Jesus has taught him now for some time, he says to the Lord, Jesus, he says, Jesus, how often should I forgive someone? This is how Peter asks it in Matthew 18, verse 15. Well, this is Jesus' instruction. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. He goes on to some other instruction if that doesn't work. Peter comes back at Jesus in verse 20 and says, Peter comes to Jesus and says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And other translations say 70 times seven. How often do I need to forgive? More than seven times, more than a few times, as often as I have to. Infinity and beyond is how many times I will forgive people. Jesus is saying to Peter, no, seven times isn't the number. 70 times seven, you need to forgive others as often as they offend you, as often as they hurt you. That's how often you need to forgive. Here's another interesting way to think about it. How often should I forgive others for all of their abuse, wounding, mistreatment of me? How often should I do that? Think about how often do I need forgiveness? At least that many times. Here's, in the Matthew 6 portion, I just read Luke 11, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and we've read that. In Matthew 6, at the tail end of that prayer, Jesus says this to his disciples, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We like that. That's good. Verse 15, Matthew 6, 15. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me give you a different version. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty much still what Jesus is saying. Let's try the New King James. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How about the Amplified Version? But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Let me try it in the paraphrase that's modern, the Message. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Ask forgiveness, be honest about your stuff, and receive new life, freedom, and cleansing. Refuse to forgive others, and you're not forgiven. I sometimes wish that wasn't in the Bible. to receive forgiveness, we must extend forgiveness. Again, this isn't a complicated concept to grasp. It's just really challenging to live out. I've been forgiven all my crud, cleansed, free, clean. Now I'm to treat others the way God has forgiven me. Don't hold on to grudges. Don't hold on to offenses and bitterness. Forgive others. No limits, no exceptions. And why is doing this so difficult? Well, same challenges. Spin Dr. Satan lies and tells us things like, what I've been forgiven of isn't so bad, but what that person has done to me is horrific. Way worse than anything I've ever done. They don't deserve it. Now, that sounds really accurate. But see, we forget all that we've been forgiven of. We minimize our stuff. We escalate other people's stuff. We get amnesia and forget the enormity of all that we've been forgiven of. And we hold on and rehearse what others have done. And we start to think we're better than we really are, and we judge others harshly. That's what the enemy gets us in this cycle of doing. Here's a really amazing quote from Henry Nouwen. It says, a human being is not someone who once in a while makes a mistake, and God is not someone who now and then forgives. No, human beings are sinners, and God is love. I'm a sinner. I've been forgiven much. God is all loving and all forgiving. I am to forgive others as God has extravagantly forgiven me. Forgiving other people, I think we get at least a few times every day to walk that out. Even when we think we're off the clock and doing recreational things, we get to forgive people. It isn't just in the heat of work or in the heat of parenting or in the heat of schoolwork. It's in the middle of recreational stuff that you will find out what's in your heart and that you get to forgive somebody. Here's one of the most amazing forgiveness stories I can share in my life in the last year. I love playing soccer. I hope you all watched some of the soccer on last night. It was amazing. Sorry, Mexico. Wow, Chile. yeah. And, play something beautiful there, Beth. So I could take 15 minutes to tell this story, but I need to tell it in one. Last year, I was playing soccer on my son's turf team. We're playing together, and we are playing pretty good. And I'm about the oldest thing on the field playing. And this one guy keeps getting more and more physical because they're losing and we're winning. And he just keeps banging people harder and harder. And I guess it's really irritating when an old guy is outplaying you. And so I took the ball from him this one time, and he just was so irritated, he didn't care, and he just kicked me. Ball's over here, and he kicked me where men don't want to be touched. And it lifted me off the ground and put me on the ground, and everybody just kind of went, yeah, it got quiet like it is in here right now. And in case you think I'm exaggerating, I had bruised evidence for 2 weeks. Now, only Sue and I know about this. And so, it's an evening game. I come home. I didn't play any more of that game. I didn't want to shake his hand. My brother Pepe spoke with him after the game was over. I don't know what they said. I just went home, did the ice rice thing. And while I'm laying in bed that night, rehearsing what an idiot that guy was and how wrong he was. I am such a nice man and he is such an evil person. Those kind of thoughts. And And finally, I just got to the point where I was like, I know I got to forgive him. I just forgive him. I don't feel like it. He doesn't deserve it. I just forgive him. Had a little moment like that child of ours, and then I went to bed and slept really well. I came into work the next morning, and I'm in my office spiritually studying probably first. I don't remember what I was doing. I was in my office, and I get Kathy on the intercom saying, Merle, you have a guest. Are you free? And I was like, sure. And she said, so-and-so is here to see you. I know this guy's face today, and I played against him in turf league again. I can't remember his name. It's spiritual amnesia. But this man found my name on the internet for the turf league. He Googled me. He found where I work, and he was in the office, and he came in and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now, the enemy will lie to us and say that if you humble yourself and you come and you ask forgiveness, you're a weak person and nobody will think. I'm telling you, I'm so glad I did the forgiveness thing in my heart that evening, because if I'd have seen him the next morning, I would have been so humiliated that I was hanging on to something while this man came from his work down at Cisco, sought me out, came to my office, asked my forgiveness. I told him, I said, you are a courageous man and I really respect you. That's the truth of what forgiveness does. It inspires us. It raises us up. It brings courage and life to everyone. I love this guy now. I see him and I'm just like, there's a man who will go to somebody's place of work and ask forgiveness. He's a big man. Forgiveness is powerful currency in the kingdom of God. It will achieve things. Forgiveness will achieve things in your life that nothing else can touch. I believe it. Let's summarize two things in this prayer that Jesus gives us. Ask forgiveness, give forgiveness. Repeat as often as needed. Daily, weekly, hourly, as many times as needed, ask forgiveness, give forgiveness. Forgive others in the same way that you've been forgiven. Completely, no limits. Now, I just want to say this, and then we're going to sing this song together, and we're going to do what Scripture's telling us to do. I want to just acknowledge that there are people in this room right now listening to what I've said, and you've experienced horrific abuse that I'll never comprehend. And I can imagine you're thinking, time out, Merle. You don't really know what you're asking me to do. What I've experienced is way, way worse than anything I've ever done, and it's way, way worse than that little wound you were inflicted on a year ago. And I want you to know that we don't ask and receive forgiveness from God because we deserve it. And it's wrong to think that people are mostly good, so those are the ones who are forgiven, and some people are mostly bad, and so they aren't forgiven. No. If we accept God's truth, if we believe Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin, if we confess our sin and ask him to forgive us, we're clean. We don't merit it. We can't earn it. We're woefully undeserving, and we're cleansed from everything. No limits, no partial cleanup effort. We're all the way clean from our sin, as far as the east is from the west. And this is true to the degree I forgive others. No matter what they've done to us, no limits. So don't forgive other people because they deserve it, or you'll never forgive anyone. Forgive other people because in Christ, you've received complete forgiveness for everything. God has lavishly, extravagantly forgiven our sins. And when we realize that, and when we experience that, when we get in a deeper appreciation for that, we have a new capacity to forgive others. So I just want us to join. This is a brand new song. The worship team's going to do it for us. You can enter in by singing along, stay in your seats, or you can just close your eyes and let these lyrics wash over you and minister to you. So let's spend a little time in the presence of the Lord, and let's do what Scripture invites us to do. I'd like you to just bow your heads, close your eyes. As I've been speaking, as Sarah's been singing, if God's reminded you of any sin that you need to be clean of, free of, just confess it to the Lord right now and receive the gift of lavish forgiveness. And you can go to level 2, and if you've been reminded of any offense, any bitterness, anything that you've held on to, then you can ask the Lord right now to forgive that person. Not because they deserve it, but because God asks you to release it. Let it go. Okay, I'd like to have the ministry team come forward. Let's bring all the lights up in the house. Everyone stand. Ministry team, come up to the front. Level 1, ask forgiveness. Be honest. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Level 2, forgive others. They don't deserve it. Neither did you. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Here's level 3. Anybody who wants to really go high, go deep in forgiveness. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for another one another that you would be healed. The most amazing thing is that the power of sin in our lives is really broken when we acknowledge it in the body. God loves to use the body of Christ to minister healing and forgiveness to one another. So you don't have to do this. What we just did in our seats transacted forgiveness with us and towards others. But if you want to experience even more incredible healing and freedom, it says in James, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you would be healed. The prayer of the righteous is wonderfully effective, it says. So I'm going to say a blessing and we're going to be dismissed, but if you want to have someone stand with you and pray this forgiveness thing, then come, share it, pray with one of these ministry team members, or you can come and have any need that you have, physical, emotional, spiritual, any need that you have. We pray for whatever your need is, okay? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you are our Father, that you adopted us into your family, and we are your children. We bless you. We magnify you. We exalt your incredible name. Let your will be done in our life this day and this week. Give us today what we need, Lord. Forgive us all our sin as we forgive those who've sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation. Send us out of here with a clean slate. Our sins forgiven, holding no offense of anyone else. Send us out here today that we could share the wonderful news of your love and forgiveness with everyone we meet, wherever we go, this day and this week. I bless you to go and be radically generous in forgiving others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go. Come forward for prayer for anything. Love you. Have a great day, dads.